2 weeks ago, we celebrated Easter Sunday, that wonderful day of celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus had died on a cross, and he died on that cross for you and for me, that our sin may be forgiven, that which had separated us from our Heavenly Father may be set aside, that we may be restored to a right relationship, a new relationship with God. And having been restored in that relationship through forgiveness, then even as Jesus was raised from the dead, Scripture tells us that you and I, who place our trust in him, will be raised from the dead as well. Now, how does all this happen? How does this come about? And how can we trust that this is really true? Well, the Apostle Paul addresses the question of trust, expressing his own confidence in a letter that he writes to the church in the city of Corinth. I'm going to be reading this morning from his second letter to Corinth, the third chapter, verses 4 to 6. And this is what Paul has to say. We are confident of all this because of our great trust in God through Christ. It is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. He has enabled us to be ministers of his new covenant. This is a covenant not of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ended in death. But under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. How did Paul know that he could trust his sins to have been forgiven? How could he be confident that when he died, God would raise him into new life? Paul says, I am confident because I live in the new covenant. Well, what is a covenant? What is it that Paul is talking about here when he uses that word? Well, a covenant is like a partnership. The Bible tells us through the Old Testament that there was a covenant back in the day, what Paul refers to as the Old Covenant, to contrast it with the new one through which he finds assurance. The Bible tells us that the Old Covenant was established by God with his people, a partnership, if you will, in which God gave his people his laws as a way of reflecting himself, his character. This is how you can get to know me. This is how you can get to know what's important to me. The things that I, God, value, I am relating them to you through the law. The most well-known part of God's law, of course, is the Ten Commandments. Things that the people are asked to do, and by doing them, they show that they desire to be in a partnership with a God who reflects those commandments. Well, the people said, yes, we want to be in a partnership with you, God, and we will follow the rules that you have placed before us to show our commitment to you. And we trust that you are committed to us, just as you say you are. And that all sounds good, and it was a well-established partnership. The problem was that the people were unable to keep their end of the bargain. The people were unable to obey the commandments. Indeed, the people, in their human weakness, in their sinfulness, consistently disobeyed, consistently broke the covenant, broke the partnership that they had agreed to with God. And God had said that there is a consequence for breaking the partnership. And that consequence is eternal separation. See, God entered into the partnership with his people because he wanted to be in relationship with them. But if they refuse the terms of the partnership, the consequences are put in place. And separation, what the Bible calls death, is what happens. The Apostle Paul understood this, and he contrasts the Old Covenant with the New Covenant in the verses that we just read. And he said, while the Old Covenant was a partnership based in written law, he says the New Covenant is based in the Holy Spirit. Now, what does Paul mean by that? The New Covenant is based in the Holy Spirit. Well, what God has done is that God has given us His Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God Himself. God has given us His Spirit. He has placed it in our hearts to help us, to strengthen us, indeed to transform us into people who are able to be in a new kind of partnership with God. Not a partnership based on us doing the very best we can to keep the written law, as Paul calls it, but the Holy Spirit living within us, the Holy Spirit which comes when by faith we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and it is the Holy Spirit who helps us and strengthens us to overcome the weakness that we have today as much as the people of the Old Testament had in their relationship with God. We are far from perfect in our partnership, but God gives us the Spirit to help us, to strengthen us, and to assure us that this partnership is real and it is lasting. The Apostle Paul in his life had experienced both the Old Covenant and the New Covenant when he wrote this letter and the many other letters that we have of his in the New Testament. For many, many years, Paul had lived according to the Old Covenant. Paul had tried the best he could to obey God's written law. He had tried really, really hard to be a good partner with God. In one of his other letters, the letter to the church in Philippi, we call it Philippians, Paul enumerates some of the things that he did when he was trying so hard to live according to the Old Covenant. He lists several things to his own credit, to, you know, the things that he was trying to do to be right before God in his own strength, in his own ability. He says, first, you should know that my ancestry is impeccable. He says, I am a Jew, and I was brought up in a pious Jewish family. If God were to love anyone, he would certainly love someone like me because, well, I have the right background. And Paul goes on to say, and if you know anything about me, you would know that I was a really strong Pharisee. And the Pharisees focused on keeping not only the big laws, the major laws like the Ten Commandments, but even tiny little laws, laws that hardly aren't even in the Old Testament, but people had made up just to say you need to work really, really hard to be in partnership with God. And Paul said, I followed all of those, even to the tiniest little rule. I did my very best to try to follow them in order to please God. Paul says, and has there ever been a harder worker than me on God's behalf? I did everything. I dedicated my life to God and to following Him and to being His servant. And Paul says, and morally, ethically, I was a good person. You can ask people who knew me back then. And there really wasn't anything that anybody could hold against me. And so Paul says, if I just looking at myself and looking at everything that I've done and what I believe and where I came from and how I grew up and how I'm living my life, I am doing a really, really good job in terms of the old covenant partnership. And I think by all measures, Paul was. Paul probably did that much better than a lot of people around him. But Paul says, I came to realize something very, very disturbing. It wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. Paul had to admit that he was not perfect. Oh yes, he could take credit for all these things and he worked hard at them, but he still sinned. There were still times that he was out of partnership with God and he knew the consequence. In his letter to the church in Rome, he says, "What a wretched man I am." He says, "I know the right thing to do, but sometimes I find myself not doing it. I know how I'm supposed to live, but the harder I try, the more difficult I find it to be, and I know that I have failed. Who is going to save me?" He asks the question. Of course, by now he's asking it rhetorically because he has come to know the new covenant. It is in the new covenant that Paul has his answer and that he gives his answer to us through his letters. It is in the new covenant through Jesus Christ that we have entered into a new kind of partnership with God. No longer a partnership that is based on us trying our very best to do everything we are supposed to do, and yet if we're honest with ourselves, realizing that sometimes we fail and the consequence of failure is separation, loss of partnership with God. No, Paul says now, thanks be to God, I am in a new relationship with God, in a new covenant, in a new partnership. And it's all because of God's Son, Jesus Christ. The night before Jesus died on the cross, he was having supper with his disciples, with his closest friends. And as a part of the supper, he took the cup from which they were drinking the wine. He took the cup as a symbol. And he held it and he said to his disciples, he said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin." Jesus is saying, because of my death that is about to take place on a cross, because of my blood that will be shed, and through what I do for you, you can be forgiven. For all the times that you are not able in your own strength, in your own power, to live up to a partnership with God. And these are the terms of a new partnership, a new covenant in my blood. In the old partnership, it was all up to you. In the new partnership, I have stepped in. I, Jesus Christ, have stepped in. And through my death on a cross, you may be forgiven. And because you are forgiven, you may be in a new partnership, a new kind of relationship with God. A relationship empowered by the Holy Spirit. A relationship that began because of Jesus' death on a cross. A relationship that is not based on trying, which is the old covenant word, try, but it is the new covenant word, trust. All you need to do is trust me, Jesus says. Trust that I have done this for you. Trust that I'm doing this because I love you. My Heavenly Father sent me into the world to do this, for God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. That's all you need, is to trust, to believe this is true, to receive it for yourself. And you no longer have to base your life on trying. Now your life is based on trust. It is no longer the old covenant way. It is the way of the new covenant. When I was in my early 20s, I began work at a church in Boulder, Colorado, as their junior high minister. And I met weekly with my supervisor, and it was one of those meetings several months into my new position at the church that my supervisor said, "You know, Steve, it just seems to me that lately you've seemed kind of down, that you've seemed a bit upset. Can you tell me what's going on?" Well, I was kind of embarrassed about what I was feeling. At first, I didn't want to say anything to him, but he gradually drew it out of me, and I told him that I felt that I was not doing a very good job as the junior high minister. I felt that I wasn't doing very well for the kids in the program. I knew some of the parents were kind of unhappy with some of the decisions that I'd made, and even some of the volunteer leaders were complaining about some things, and I just said to him, "I just feel totally inadequate, and I just don't think I'm worthy to be the junior high minister." Now, yes, there were a lot of things that I needed to work on. There were things that I was doing wrong. There were mistakes that I had made, and people were right to criticize me and to be unhappy with me. In old covenant language, if you will, I had been trying really hard, but I was failing. And I was shown to be, at least in my way of thinking, inadequate for the job. And I felt that I was unworthy. Well, my supervisor began to share with me some of his thoughts. He talked with me about why the church had hired me in the first place and what they had seen in me. He told me that through conversations with the senior pastor of our church, that he knew that the senior pastor was supportive of me as well, even though I was young and inexperienced. And he said to me, "You know, Steve, I know there are things that we need to work on, and we will work on those things. But your inadequacy does not mean that you are not worthy." It says, "You are worthy for this position, Steve, whether or not you feel worthy. And you are worthy for this position because the church has come to you through the search committee that hired you, through myself as your supervisor, through our senior pastor and others, and we believe that you're the right person for the job. We believe that you're worthy. Perhaps you don't feel that right now, but are you willing to trust me? And to trust me when I tell you that our senior pastor feels the same way." That's new covenant language. Do you trust that you are worthy before God? Do you trust that you're worthy of His love, even though you know you're inadequate? And see, Paul recognizes that in the verses that we read. The Old Covenant and New Covenant are contrasted by the issue of inadequacy on the one hand and adequacy on the other. Paul says, "I know that we are inadequate in terms of the Old Covenant. We can't do what we need to do." This is how he says it in verse 5. "It is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own." See, the Old Covenant is about trying to self-qualify. The New Covenant is about God qualifying us. God saying, "You are worth it to me. I'm not going to look at you and wait for you to qualify yourself because I know you're not going to be able to do that." Old Covenant, human inadequacy. New Covenant is based in God's adequacy. And God is adequate to do all that he has promised to do for all who by faith trust in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so this conversation about a new covenant comes down to this. Do you and I trust what the Bible tells us about this new covenant? Are we willing to set aside notions that we may still have even today that God wants us to somehow live according to old covenant standards, that God is frowning at us from heaven because we're not quite doing well enough, that we're not quite good enough, that our list of spiritual and religious accomplishments isn't quite long enough? Or do we trust and stop trying? Do we trust? Now, how do we increase our trust? How do we go about trusting someone, especially when we're not sure whether we can trust? I think one of the things we do when it's with another person is that we look them in the eye. When you're in a relationship with someone and something is bothering you about the relationship, if you want to have an honest and forthright conversation and you want to be able to trust that what they're saying to you is real and true, you look them in the eye. I want to encourage you to do something today. I want to encourage you to imagine that you are at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. I want you to imagine that you are close enough to where you are able to look into his face. A face that you will see the pain and the suffering that he is experiencing. Not only physically, because of the terrible way in which he has been treated by the Roman soldiers, with nails having been put through his wrists and through his ankles as he hangs there on a cross. But as you look at him closely, you realize that he is someone who loves and who cares for others. As you look at him, you see him turning to a man who was crucified next to him, a man who was a thief, a man who deserved death for the terrible things that he had done. And he and that man have a conversation while they're hanging there on their crosses. And you see that Jesus looks on the man with love and with compassion. And he says to the man, "Today you will be with me in paradise. Today you will be with me in paradise." I don't know whether this man, this thief, had tried to be a good person or had just said, forget it, but Jesus says to him, trust. And the man had expressed trust in Jesus. And Jesus says, because you trust, regardless of whether you've tried or not, you will be with me in paradise. And you hear those words, and then Jesus, in your imagination, turns his eyes towards you. And while he may not speak to you, you see in his eyes a question. Do you believe, Jesus is asking you, that you can trust me? That you can trust that I love you, that I care for you, that I am dying on this cross for you, so that you can be forgiven, so you can have new life. So through me, you can be a part of a new partnership with God. Stop trying, Jesus says. Trust. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, the Apostle Paul knew so very well what it was like to try to live according to an old covenant. Boy, he tried hard. He did everything he could think of to be a good person according to the religion and the standards of his day. And by all accounts, he did a pretty good job of it. And yet he knew deep within himself that it was not enough. He knew deep within himself that he was not able to remain in that partnership with God because he couldn't be perfect. And as a human being, he recognized that no one can be perfect. And so for a while he despaired, calling himself wretched, not knowing what to do or how to move or what it could all mean, because he loved you, God, and he wanted to be in a partnership with you, but it wasn't working the old way. And then he experienced Jesus. Then he heard the voice of Jesus speaking to him as he was traveling to a city called Damascus. And it was through that encounter that he came to understand that Jesus was not looking at him, Paul, according to how hard he had tried. But Jesus was looking at him, Paul, with the eyes of love and compassion and saying, all you need to do, Paul, is trust me. Trust that I have already done what is necessary for you. There is nothing you need to do. Do you believe this? And Paul came to say, yes, I do believe this. And so we today, who have your word and who can read these stories and hear these words for ourselves, these words that are given us by your Holy Spirit as he inspires Scripture, these words come to us today. But the question is just as important for us as it was for Paul, just as important as it was for the thief who was hanging there on the cross, just as important as it was for this person who at age 23 felt that he was not worthy, to hear it's not about trying, it's about trusting. Lord, may we trust you today that a new covenant has been offered to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, empowered by your Spirit. May we accept that. May we believe it. And may it change us into people who are not trying so hard necessarily, but who are trusting that if we turn to you, you will give us what we need to be able to do what you ask of us, that we may love you and that we may love our neighbor as ourself, not because we're trying so hard, but because we're trusting you that you've already loved us so we can love others. You've already forgiven us so we can forgive others. And in that trusting, Lord, we also trust that one day we will be reunited with you and with all who we have known in this life who also trust. And so we will partake in that wonderful resurrection, that Easter truth. Yes, we celebrated 2 weeks ago, but it is as true today as it was then, and it will be every day until we stand face to face with you. And we will see in those eyes, eyes of love and compassion, and we will hear those words, welcome home. This, Lord, we trust. Amen.